Starting on page 167, the first kind of strategy that unbelievers often use is, you're talking to your professor and you're talking to him, and the strategy will most likely be, well, that's just not important. We're not here to talk about these underlying philosophical things. With philosophy, you can say anything. We
Right.
don't care how we get there. We know that it works. The system works. We can run it through the same petri dish test 70
Yeah,
million
we're
times.
just doing
We
chemistry or biology,
get the
right?
same answer. It doesn't matter. So this hand waving and pronouncing it as unimportant. Well, does the issue suddenly become unimportant? I mean, this is the foundation of all society: math,
Or of science, at
economics,
least, yes.
right, science, physics. Why do we care that the ball goes down? Well, gravity. Well, why does gravity remain constant? We don't ask those questions. We just know that it is. There's the big G in the equation. Thank you, Newton. But let's move on. We know the equation, and we can plug in our various variables and get the answer 10 times out of 10, and that should be good enough. But it is important, because how do we know that the next day won't change it? The other person may say, well, we're able to do science without answering that question because, after all, we are doing science, and I cannot answer your question. He thinks that's profound, and he will think that's settled the matter. We don't need to solve these problems in order to do the work in our field. We're just there, and that's all there is to it. And so,
Right.
right,
Yeah, so that's
it's
the
kind of
answer
like,
for them, right?
right, it's kind of like anytime you're watching Star Trek or a movie that where science is suddenly invoked, quantum mechanics. That's the tachyon fields. That's the answer that can be inputted. But why is that the case? Well, we just needed a plot device in here to have sciencey words, and so n now we're moving forward because we know the thing happened. We just need a way of explaining it. We've done it. All right, moving on.
Right. So when we ask how do you justify the foundations of science, and then the scientist tells us, well, that's not important. He says, well, yeah, it kind of is, right? You need a foundation for doing something, right? And so he says, before we go further, he's gonna, complicate things, right? By teaching us how to explain to the unbeliever what we're talking about, right? Explain to the professor or the roommate, a fellow student, a business or associate, the neighbor, that they are indeed a believer. And that's what he wants to get at here. Why? Well, he says because the unbeliever is a believer, he will have a good point when he says, right, I don't have an answer to that question because we're able to do science or study literature or do sociology or whatever without answering your question. So Bahnsen admits, yes, that is a good point, right? I can do science, I can do all of these things without even answering that question, without even thinking about that question. He says, these concepts we must understand that there are three of them, he says, before we come back to the unbeliever being a believer, because that's really what his claim is here. The unbeliever is really a believer, right? And so there is a believing. He's going to make three distinctions here, that there's believing, justifying a belief, and having a belief about a belief, right?
Right.
So believing, justifying a belief, and having a belief or beliefs about a belief. So he wants to clarify those things before he clears up this objection that, well, we can do science without going through this. Okay, well, let's take a look at these various three concepts, and then we'll come back to the objection. We're able to do science without answering this question, right? So
Right.
that's what he wants to take a look at.
Right. And you have to think too that when you're engaging somebody in a topic of does God exist, or Jesus takes away the sins of the world and you should put your entire faith in him and live your life inconsistent with biblical principles, you might get some pushback. And the pushback that people tend to ask is, well, how can you believe all the contradictions of the Bible? Or, how can a loving God allow all the evil? And hey, what do you know? We've covered two books just on those two questions alone. And we're not saying that's not important, but this comes from a transcendental argument of with presuppositionalism. And so, this is maybe what you will run into when you're talking to people, kind of going down this conversation route of, well, but we can do it. I don't need to know that tomorrow is going to be like today. I think the sun will come up tomorrow. Let's wait and see. And boom, there you go. So my knowledge has been justified, but because we just wait and see. And so here is where your answers might differ as far as how you approach the subject, but this is a good way of kind of understanding these differences between these different types of so-called beliefs.